The Fuhrer said that victory was now only a matter of time. A sustained war on British territory would not only result in futile loss of life, but would destroy forever the British economy. And to what end? To fulfill treaty obligations in which Britain had no proper interest. Britain should be concerned with her empire overseas, not with the affairs of Europe. Germany had no quarrel with England. Mr. Churchill replied,
XPV by Len Dayton. Dramatized in 8 parts by Michael Bakewell. Episode 4, The Hitler Minutes.
Seen the newspaper, Stuart?
IRA bomb factory blast. Man dies. Bomb squad arrests in London follow explosion at farmhouse.
Of course there were no arrests by the bomb squad.
I suppose it's just the newspaper's way of linking the explosion to terrorism. It sells more papers.
No, don't be too hard on Fleet Street, Stuart. We've some good friends there.
So it was your story?
Better that way. And with Wafer being a rather taciturn German, his neighbours out there in Suffolk were only too ready to invent all kinds of evil doings.
Norfolk, actually, sir. He said he worked for us.
For one of the departments in Whitehall. And you found a photograph of this fellow Breslow in the ruins of the farmhouse?
It's been down to archives, sir, Cindy. There is still one German unidentified.
There's no point in my looking at him, Stuart. Not likely to turn out he's on the committee of my golf club or anything. So, what do you make of it?
First, I thought Wafer was lying about Breslau stealing that document. Later, when I'd had time to think about it, I was less sure. I think Breslau sent that sheet of Hitler's daily conference through the post to Wafer together with a photograph. I think it was a way of reminding Wafer who Breslau was.
Renewing old acquaintance, you mean?
Or putting pressure on him.
Pressing him in what direction?
Not to tell us the story he told us.
Or indeed to tell you the story he told you, rather than tell the truth.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe him?
Wafer claimed that our people were harassing him, sir. He said he'd told the same story over and over.
Nonsense. No one else has talked to him on this matter.
Shall I let you have my written report in person?
No written reports for the time being, Stuart. We'll keep this strictly between you and me. Now, I think this business about the bomb will be all right. Lucky we had one of our chaps in Thetford to clear up, wasn't it, Stuart? What I still don't know is why you got there so early.
I was given no particular time to be there, sir. The written note my Los Angeles controller gave me just said that Franz Wafer would be at his home from 2 p.m. onwards. In the event, it wasn't correct. Wafer was a devout churchgoer. Once a week, he volunteered to clean the church.
Yes, sir. Well, you're doing a grand job, Stuart. Keep at it. And try and give me something for the PM when he returns from the heads of government meeting. Politicians are a restless and impatient breed. Were you thinking of returning to Los Angeles immediately?
Probably next week, sir.
Ah. Well, you know best, Stuart. You know best.
The DG gives me the creeps.
Oh, come back to bed, Boyd. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know he's a nice family man who helps old ladies across the street and takes stray dogs home, and my ex-wife adores him, but he really gives me the creeps. Wafer told me that our people had talked to him over and over again. The DG won't admit it.
Are you going to sit staring out of that window all night? What are you looking at?
There are 2 men in a green car outside the butcher's on the corner. They've been sitting there ever since we came back from the restaurant.
Are you getting paranoid?
A DG asked me why I was early going out to see that man, Wafer. I didn't tell him what time I got there. I didn't tell operations. I didn't tell my controller. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell anyone. How the hell would the DG know unless he had someone following me from the airport?
Just forget about it. Internal security run regular monitoring checks on everyone, you know, from time to time. There is no significance that you're being followed from the airport. It's nothing to get hysterical about, darling.
Then let me tell you something that is worth getting hysterical about. Suppose I hadn't chanced across an old man who happened to know that Vafer was in church. Suppose I'd followed instructions to the letter, turned up a little late, gone straight to the Vafer house, had a cup of tea with his wife and waited for him to come back. Then what?
What are you trying to say to me, Boyd?
I'm all ready to get really angry with someone. I narrowly escaped being killed in a car in Los Angeles, and that was murder, I'm certain of it. And then someone phoned Vafer. Someone phoned him and checked that I was there before detonating that bomb. Except for a minor miscalculation by the ordnance technicians, Vafer would have disappeared, and I would have disappeared. And all that evidence you receipted tonight and put in the red safe, that would have disappeared too.
Boyd!
Just by some remote chance, the department happens to have someone in Thetford this afternoon. Someone they can contact at a moment's notice. Someone the DG can trust with the delicate task of putting a roll of £10 notes into Mrs. Vafer's mouth.
Conjecture. That's largely conjecture.
Don't switch on the light. We're still there.
Are you trying to tell me that your father-in-law arranged to have you killed? Expedient demise. Is that what you're arguing?
There's no getting round the facts, Kitty.
But the DG has no contact with any XPD orders, Boyd. You know the system. XPD orders come only on the personal authority of each individual regional ops chief. Then they're countersigned by the DG's deputy. It's always done that way. The DG has no say in it.
Yes, it's always been done that way, Kitty, so that the DG can go before secret parliamentary committees and truthfully swear that he has no knowledge of expedient demise or any other authorised killings. I know how it's all done, Kitty.
No one knows about it. Not even my boss knows how they assign the XPDs, or even which of our agents handle them. But I'll tell you one thing, Boyd. There's no way Sir Sidney could arrange it without the collaboration of others. And I've worked there long enough to know that he wouldn't get it.
Are you seriously telling me that in all the time you've worked in operations, you've never seen an order for expedient demise?
For defectors, Boyd. For traitors. For people with heads filled with secrets like the whereabouts of field agents. And then only after the department is certain that they're on the point of betraying everything to Moscow. They never XPD field people like you. Pursuing an operational task to the best of your ability.
Do you mind if I take notes? You're talking like a field manual.
Oh, thanks a lot. And now I've had enough of your bad temper. I'm going home.
Oh, stop it, Kim. You know I didn't Oh, don't get dressed, for God's sake.
Do you know what it's like for me being in this bloody flat with you?
What do you mean?
I mean, everywhere I look, there are bits and pieces belonging to your other women.
Woman, not women. Jennifer's things, do you mean?
Yes, your bloody Jennifer! That's right. How does she talk? Not like a field manual. How then? Like a sex manual!
Oh, my God, Kitty, don't start crying. I can't stand it.
Oh, that's it, of course. Not don't cry, Kitty, because I hate to see you unhappy. It's don't cry, Kitty, because I can't stand it. Where are my shoes?
Your car is miles away.
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm not frightened of little green men in flying saucers.
Oh, go to hell.
Well, we now come to the last item on our agenda, non-electronic systems. I don't think we need to detain GCHQ over this one.
Thank you. I'll be on my way.
All right, we'll see you next week, Charles.
Bye.
Well, Sir Sidney?
Well, in the absence of any hard and fast evidence, we must assume that a large body of documentary evidence has fallen into private hands. Mm-hmm. And we have to assume that this material is wholly unknown to the U.S. State Department.
Yeah. How can we be sure of that?
Oh, I have people there. We have scoured their State Department archives.
Even the classified ones?
What else would be of use?
Quite.
Now, the material in question includes messages, telegrams, cables, and conversations between various representatives of His Majesty's government and the German leaders in 1940.
Yeah, well, I think we can dispense with the euphemism, Sir Sidney. We're talking about the Hitler Minutes, aren't we? Mm. We're talking about the undated document headed Framework for a Negotiated Settlement that was passed to the German Foreign Office via Stockholm in, if my memory serves me correctly, late May 1940.
How I wish that were all we were talking about, gentlemen. But I can assure you that dissertation of well-intentioned gobbledygook would never have caused me to lose a wink of sleep. There would be no difficulty in passing that off as a clever way of playing for time during the Dunkirk evacuation.
What then?
We are talking about top-level exchanges in which specific concessions were discussed. The map of Africa was to revert to its 19th century colours.
My God.
Yes, the whole of Ireland was to be placed under what was to be known as an Anglo-German administration, and Cork and Belfast would become permanent German naval bases for a newly created German Atlantic fleet. The ships for this would, of course, have been ours.
But that's preposterous.
And worldwide port facilities for the Royal Navy from Hong Kong to Gibraltar would immediately start refueling and revictualling any German warships as required, as well as any merchantmen flying the German flag.
If this is some sort of joke, Sir Sidney...
No joke. I wish it were.
And has the PM been told?
He now knows the full extent of the danger. He is particularly distressed about the Irish dimension. You can see how this would be manipulated by the Dublin government or the IRA.
Hardly any need for manipulation. I mean, the facts alone are...
Yes, they also discussed the use that the Germans might make of elements of the French fleet.
Before the surrender of France.
That is correct.
Our finest hour. Oh, Winston would turn in his grave.
Gentlemen, I'm not sure that you understand me. I'm referring to decisions in which Sir Winston played a major role. I'm referring to exchanges between Sir Winston and Hitler himself.
Hitler? Hitler and Churchill?
Now, let's not meet trouble halfway, gentlemen. Pray that my people get their hands on these wretched files.
I think we'll have to point out that these documents are not authenticated. Say that they may be forgeries concocted by the Germans during the war to discredit us.
Yes, I take your point, or concocted more recently, perhaps. Now, I think it might be as well if we talked about the preparation of a couple of items. Mm.
Forge them, and then use them to discredit the rest of the material? Coming so soon after the Hitler diaries, the press might swallow that. Let's meet tomorrow for lunch, then find some quiet place after we've eaten. The traveller's suit you?
Yes.
Well, if you'd let me have your agenda papers, gentlemen, I'll put them through the shredder.
All right.
I really wish I could do the same with those wretched documents.
Paper wrap shrimp. You want some of these?
Oh, no thanks, Dad. I couldn't eat another thing.
You know, these little eateries in Chinatown, only place where you can find the real thing. Prince always took me to eat the fancy chink joint on Lassie Granada, you know, last Monday. Waiters and claw hammer, coat finger bowls, lemon slices, linen bridge to protect the necktie with them. But then, line, what do you got, huh?
I don't know.
Chop suey. That's what you got. Not these delicate little specialties. Yeah, I cooked up here in North Broadway and all put together. Yeah, you stand there.
Nothing. Is Brizzle going to make that movie?
Well, he's spending money on pre-production.
You've seen a lot of the Brizzles lately.
You know, I've seen a lot of the bread, Lou, because I want to keep an eye on what the little son bitch you're doing.
I thought you were getting to like him.
Oh, I said he's a good businessman. That doesn't mean like him. Means you gotta watch out what the hell he might try to pull.
For instance?
Well, look. They never strike you, Billy. The Breslow could get his hands on all the documents we got out of the mine. He wouldn't need me, huh? You gonna eat that thing?
No.
Give it to me. Come on. Yeah. No. What are you looking at?
Just a girl.
Yeah, did you ever look at anything else?
What are you going to do to make sure he doesn't rip us off?
This stuff is good, huh? Well, I've been thinking of that. First, you got to understand how much trouble we've got into in order to prevent Breslow finding out where the files and papers are hidden. It's essential that we keep the location a secret from him and from anyone else associated with him. That goes double for that Brit.
Oh, I forgot you met that Brit. What's he like?
You missed something, Billy. Boyd Stewart, that's what he calls himself. Now, what kind of faggot name is that? But he's no faggot when it comes to weighing 200 pounds at least. I guess he knows how to handle himself. Never mind the fancy accent. Cunning, You could see it in his eyes.
Sounds like you like him even less than you like Breslow.
he wants the documents, Billy. Should have seen the way he looked when I showed him the Morrell file. Now, look, what I'm trying to tell you, Billy, is that the Brits, they might have decided to destroy those documents and rub out anyone who knows about them.
Why do you keep looking at your watch?
Breslow was supposed to be joining us for lunch.
Why didn't you say so before? And why this greasy spoon? I thought you said Breslow liked good food.
Breslow says he's crazy about Chinese steamed pastries, huh? I told him this was the best place in town to eat them. I didn't want to talk about copyright, he says.
I wondered why you sat looking at the door.
Hey, look, here he is now.
Hi, Max. I'm sorry I'm so late.
That's okay. This is my son, Billy.
Pleased to meet you.
How do you do? And sitting over there is my daughter, Mary.
Come on over, Mary.
Thanks.
This is Charles Stein and his son, Billy.
Hi.
So that's who you were staring at. And no wonder you couldn't take your eyes off her.
You must have guessed who they were, Mary. You should have introduced yourself.
Dad, I just couldn't come on.
Come on, let's move to another table, huh? Any place I eat gets to look like a disaster area.
Nothing to eat for me.
Could I speak to you for a moment, Charles?
Sure.
I want to show you something in my car. It's in the underground garage.
Whatever you say. I'm sure the kids won't miss us.
Yes.
Gee whiz. The whole side's pushed in.
They tried to kill me, Charles.
You're shaking. Come back to the restaurant, have a drink, and think yourself lucky you weren't killed. It's Friday the 13th.
You don't understand, Charles. When I say they were trying to kill me, I mean exactly that. This wasn't any ordinary traffic accident. The fellow was working with two other drivers. One boxed me in and the other one edged me over into the emergency lane and tried to crush me against the medium wall. And behind me, I had a big panel truck hitting my rear fenders. I tried to slow.
Max, are you sure you're not imagining all this? I mean, it's easy enough to mistake some drunken salesman or some hyped-up kid for something else.
These weren't kids or salesmen, Charles. You can see the size of the truck from the way my top's damaged.
You're a tough son of a bitch, Max. You kept behind the wheel and held on, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know how you got this heap all the way out here without a tow truck.
Now, Mary mustn't know. She'll be sure to tell her mother. You must promise me help in getting her away from the restaurant. If she comes down here to collect her mother's Chevy, she'll be sure to see what happened.
Come and have a drink, Max.
It was the Britisher who did it, Charles. I'm certain of that. They're desperate to get these documents. We must be clever, Charles, or they will kill the two of us and there'll be no money for anyone.
I'll go and tell the kids that something important has come up and I'm borrowing the Chevy,
yeah?
That way your daughter will have no reason to come down here.
How'll she get home?
Billy will drive us home. He loves showing off in that goddamn T-Bird.
It's not parked down here.
It's only old dudes like us who pay for parking nowadays. Billy left his car on the sidewalk just the way he always does.
We must move fast, Charles, or we'll get nothing out of it except an early death. We must make all the material public, and we need to establish a clear claim to our right in it.
It's not our copyright. This stuff originated from all sorts of long-dead people, huh? Dr. Morrell, for instance. What's on your mind exactly?
You have to make all your material available. It's as simple as that. Until now, we've continued in good faith. But you've got to release the more sensitive material. Now, we've got a good script, a director who can start immediately, but what will really make the film a sensation is in those documents.
Let's see the way it goes for a week or two. I've never promised anything. I just said I'd think about it.
But we really have to start to get moving.
There are still a few ends to be tidied up.
Shall I tell you what I think, Charles? I suspect the truth is you don't want to publish those papers. You've had these documents for so long now that they've become a part of your life.
Maybe there's some truth in that.
In the ordinary way, perhaps it wouldn't matter much. But we are playing for big stakes, my friend. Isn't it enough for you that the British tried to kill me today? How long do you think it will be before they make such an attempt on your life, too? How long before they decide to kill your Billy or my Mary?
What are you going to do about Mary?
I shall make contact with our friend, Mr. Boyd Stewart, and make sure he understands that I have no access to the papers. That would be enough to remove me from the firing line. It's you I'm worrying about, my friend.
That makes two of us. You want a chocolate?
No, thank you, Charles.
I'm too old to die a violent death. I got my indoor figured out. It's going to be upstairs in the best bedroom with Billy and his grandsons, listening to what I tell them about the investments.
It's no laughing matter.
I'm not joking.
Let me put a hypothetical question to you. We're businessmen, are we not? And neither of us is getting any younger.
Spit it out, Max.
Now, suppose I were to arrange a sale of your papers. Suppose I were to include a provision that gave you a percentage of the film profits made, as well as putting money in your pocket.
I've told you before, Max, I'm just the front man for a syndicate. I don't own those papers. I just own a very small share in them. People I'm working with trust me and rely on my judgment. I have to stay close to this deal and make sure my syndicate gets fairly treated.
And why not? Who's talking about selling anyone short? What I'm telling you is that a big financial backer could take over the project and make more money out of it than we ever could. Movies, TV, paperbacks, videos. There could be cash up front, Charles. And a company like that could never come under the sort of physical threats that the British are subjecting us to. Have you got the documents in the house, Charles?
Don't crowd me, Max.
Very well, Charles.
You mad at me?
My friend, how could that be possible? We're partners, are we not?
Hi, Dad.
Ah.
Mr. Breslow.
Mary get home all right?
Sure thing, Mr. Breslow.
I'll phone you tonight, Max, for failing that first thing in the morning.
Very well, Charles, but make sure you double lock your doors tonight. These people mean business.
I've still got a few tricks up my sleeve.
Of course you have, Charles. But let's hope you don't have to demonstrate what they are. Goodbye, Billy. Thanks for taking Mary home.
What's eating him?
This guy got bashed up the freeway. He reckons the Brits are trying to kill him.
On account of that Hitler movie?
Yeah. I'm not so sure, though. Maybe he fixed the accident himself to try and railroad me into selling the documents.
I wouldn't want anything to happen to Mary.
It's married now, is it? You only met her at lunchtime. What's it? You love at first sight?
I knew you were going to blow your top. I told Mary you had this thing about Germans.
You've been discussing me, huh? Tell me, Billy, did she exchange confidences? Did she tell you a few of good old Daddy Max's little passions and preoccupations?
All I said was that you didn't like Germans because of some of the things you saw in the war.
Okay. I got no time for that now. I'm going out.
I may be out, too, later.
Then, listen, tell Mrs. Benson to double lock all the doors and check the window catches and not to open the door to anyone, okay? I mean that.
Sure. Where are you going?
Visiting an old pal.
How long has Stein been in there now?
Around 1.5 hours.
I'll be glad when Stuart gets back from London. We need some action on this one. It's costing us more than we can afford. I've allocated 5 men for Stein and 2 for Breslow. We can't keep it going forever. I feel sure Stein and Breslow have those damn papers here in town.
They could be anywhere. Stein went to Geneva last month. Maybe that's where he has the papers.
Who's the guy Stein's talking to in the club anyway?
The other is Jerry Delaney. A smooth-talking crook is into everything from porn and movies to stolen fruit machines.
An old army buddy of Stein's?
We're not certain of that. London won't let us dip into the Washington computer. But I reckon there's a link with the army in the mine.
It's getting rough, Jerry. Yeah. I'm planning to set up a deal where we can patch up our losses at the bank with whatever we can raise from the odds and ends we got left over.
The documents and copies and stuff.
Yeah. But I'm handling with some very tough customers, Jerry. I feel like I stuck my finger in a hornet's nest.
What do you mean?
I mean I might have to scram real fast. That's why I had to ask you to get those papers.
Yeah, they're all here. Brazilian passport in the name of Stefan Wazowski. Polish name, so no one will expect you to speak Portuguese.
Good.
A copy of a birth certificate, October 19th, 1926, issued by the Department of the Interior in Warsaw in 1938.
Right.
French driving license. Mm-hmm. The American Express card is a forgery, so don't buy anything with it. Just use it as ID, understand?
Now, this guy knows his way around.
Yeah, the best. Ah, you're all set up.
No, Jerry, this stuff is to help a man who's running. But I don't plan to run forever. I'll need a history, bank records, backed up by bank managers who will play ball. I need someone who can put me on a computer, Jerry.
It could be done, Chuck, but there's a lot of
Jerry,
people to pay.
I don't care what it costs.
I don't think we're going to get anything out of this. Let's tell the people in the other car to take over. I'm sure that Stein will stay in that club all evening and then drive home and go to bed. I promised to phone London tonight with a situation report.
I'm inclined to agree. Santos. Get in. Well, what's happened?
There's been a call to Stein, timed 8:30. A man named Bock called him from London.
Who answered? Billy Stein?
He's left for his boat in Ensenada. We got a tail on him.
So who answered?
Nobody. The message went on the answering machine. And this guy Bock works for a German bank in London, says he has life and death information about the documents. He wants to talk to Stein. He's left a secretarial service number in London.
Could be a chance for us.
This could be what we've been waiting for.
Could you wipe that answering machine clear, Santos?
Not without getting inside the Stein place. It's pretty well equipped for security.
We've got to get in there, nevertheless.
What about Stein?
I could fix up so the highway patrol pick him up for drunk driving. Keep him in jail for the night.
Then get on to it. We've got to make sure we get to this man Bock before Stein does. We can't afford to take any chances with this one.
In XPD by Len Dayton, Boyd Stewart was played by Trevor Nichols. Sidney Ryden, David Garth. Charles Stein, Bruce Boer. Max Breslow, Bernard Hepton. Hitler Minutes, Colin Starkey. Mary Breslow, Helena Breck. Kitty, Melinda Walker. Deputy Secretary, Gannard Green. MI5 Man, David Sinclair. Billy Stein, Ian Tyler. Case Officer, Alan Thompson. Section Head, Bernard Brown. XPD is dramatized by Michael Bakewell and directed by Peter King.